Welcome back to He Called Me Faithful. Mm-hmm. I am Amanda Jones, and this is my husband, David Jones.
Hello.
Yay! So we are going to be doing a bit of a marriage series for the next few podcast episodes. So this first one, we're probably just going to talk about New Zealand. So we are in New Zealand now. Yeah. We moved here about a month ago. And it's just been the Lord's leading the whole way. And we have been promising people we will tell them the whole story. So that is kind of what we're here to do. Yeah. So how do you feel being here? Dave was actually born in New Zealand. He lived here till he was 9. So it's been a long time for him. He's mainly been in Canada. So how does it feel being back?
Awesome. Yeah, it's exciting to be back. Yes. I missed it a lot. And missed the mountains. I missed the ocean. I missed the people. I missed the food. Yeah. It's so good to be back.
Yeah. It's pretty cool because 9 years ago, we came here the year after we got married. For 1 month to visit and to, so I could meet some of his relatives out here. So we kind of traveled around both islands. And at the time we prayed about it because we knew like we've both always been involved in ministry in some capacity, usually separate from each other. But, we just wanted to be obedient to whatever God wanted for us. So at the time we prayed and we were like, God, like, are we meant to move here? Just for any reason, we didn't really have a leading at that point, but we just felt a clear, like, no. So we were like, okay, cool. We had a great time here, but we just were happy to go home. And we felt like, yep, that was good just for a visit. Like, we're good. We're happy in Canada. And that's where we're called for now, like at that time. Then it was about 2 years ago that we kind of felt this release from the place we were living, which was Peterborough, Ontario, Canada. And we both separately felt that, which is pretty cool. We used to be in sync a lot, I think, when we were dating, with what God was speaking to us. But since getting married, we weren't always in the same things. So it was really cool that we both felt that. We were like, oh, that's cool. So that's usually a really good sign for us to kind of dig into something.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
When you say God's speaking to us, what does that mean? I know some people haven't experienced that or struggle with that. Mm. And you and I have experience with that. But I didn't used to, and it used to be really confusing to me. Mm. Sometimes I felt like I was left out, like I'd forgot to ask a question earlier in class, and now I just had to sit there and feel like I didn't know the answer. Mm. And so what do you mean when you say you felt like God was speaking to us?
That's good. Yeah. I mean, the Bible talks a lot about different ways God speaks to us, but often it's in like a quiet whisper, which doesn't necessarily mean words. So for me, it's often like something kind of dropped in my mind that I know isn't my own thought, but that like the Bible says, my sheep will know my voice. So I know it's God's voice at this point because I am in the Word daily and I know God's character and I know his heart, and his heart is to restore and build up and heal and redeem, right? So when it's something that encourages biblical values and God's character, then that's a pretty good sign it's in line with God. If it's ever something against the Bible, even if it feels like, even if you're feeling like, oh, this feels like it's from God, but it goes against the Bible or God's character, then that's deception and that's not from God. So that's why we do have to always check it with the Bible. But yeah, for me, it is often just like kind of a quiet voice in my head, and I have to take the time. Like I have to, sometimes he'll talk to me without me like pressing in, but usually I have to take the time. Like I have to pray, or seek him, or even just as I'm walking, like just ask him, like, God, what should I do today, right? And just ask the question, and then he usually shares with me right away. So sometimes if you're not hearing from God, it can be if you have like any blocks in your life. So then you just ask God about that too. God, is there anything blocking me from hearing you? And sometimes it could be a habitual sin, something that God's maybe asked you to lay down and you haven't, or sometimes it's something he's actually asked you to walk in obedience in and you haven't yet, but you know that he's like put it on your heart maybe to like serve your neighbor or serve in the homeless shelter or even just share a word with a friend and you haven't done it yet.
Like
God
Jonah
is, he's so gentle and he gives us one step at a time. Yeah. He doesn't really give us the whole picture often. So you have to be obedient in that one step to get the next step. And that's 100% what we experienced with this move to New Zealand as well.
Our friend wrote an amazing book on the voice of God, Lindell, right?
Yeah.
And so we'll put a link to that underneath because it is such a beautiful book that goes through just the different ways through images that you could get, or through the Word of God, through visions, dreams, just all these different ways, which I think is really helpful. I had that described to me, and it made a lot of sense. And this book really helped with that as well, to just explain those ways in way, in simple terms, that makes it seem a lot more clear, which is nice. So, but the core of it is that every single one of you, God wants to speak to you. He loves you. And whether that's through dreams and visions, whether that's an image, whether that's a word, whether that's while you're watching a movie, music, looking at art, looking in nature, at church, whatever it would be, God wants to speak to each and every one of you, and he wants to affirm his identity that he has created you with, and how he loves you, and the purpose and plan that he has for you. So, as Amanda said, we both, got just that clear leading from God, and felt like God was speaking to us, saying that he wanted us to be in New Zealand.
Yeah, but it started, just with that feeling of release.
Yes.
Which, do you remember what it was like for you?
Yeah, for me, I was in the midst of ministry that I was loving. But as I was doing it, all of a sudden one day, God just stopped me and just highlighted something. It was a picture. And he just highlighted the fact that I'd been there for about 8 years, and that the previous people who had been in that role had been there about 10 years. And he just, the question just came to mind so clearly. And so I say, he asked me, would you be willing to let this go? And I was like, whoa, what? But I love this. I love doing this work. It's so meaningful and beautiful. I love it. But then, I felt like God said again, would you let this go? And I was like, but why? And he's like, would you be willing to let this go? Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, it's your ministry, not mine. Yes. And so, surrendered that to God in that moment. And then very shortly after that, God started putting things kind of into place for us to be able to come to New Zealand, which took it from something that felt like a wild dream to something that became a reality quickly. You can probably hear that it's starting to rain quite heavily. So we're probably going to have to
relocate,
move and relocate, but we'll be back.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll relocate.
Grab yourself a coffee or tea and a drink of water and rejoin us in a moment. Cheers.
Yay.
Oh, so good.
Okay, we are back.
We're back.
Where were we? You shared, about your release.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I think there wasn't like a specific moment like that. It was just, I felt just like in our home, I had been so content, because when we bought our house and moved in, Dave had kind of like implied that we were going to be there forever.
I had a lot of fear around moving.
Which
I'd
is fair.
Yeah. Some kind of traumatic moves in my past.
Yeah.
As a kid. And so I liked the idea of having a place I could settle and that we could settle and that we could stay forever. Mm-hmm. That felt really secure for me and really comforting.
Which is totally fair, So I was content and happy there, and I really felt at home, and God was just like so gracious with me in that, because I love adventures and travel and new things. And but it was a beautiful season. My whole time in Peterborough, even before I met Dave, where God was really teaching me about setting roots and about deep roots, and there's certain like depths of relationship you can only get with people through longevity, and I really learned that in my time in Peterborough, and it was so beautiful. So I was very happy, very content. It was a beautiful season, but it was the same time, the same month that Dave felt that. I think I felt it maybe like a week before, but I didn't say anything. But I just felt just like kind of a release spiritually from our home. Like I was just sitting at home and just felt like we might not be there much longer. And I didn't know what that meant. So I didn't want to say anything to Dave because I didn't want to freak him out. So I was like, it's fine. I'll just like pray about it. And if it's meant to happen, like God will make it happen. And I think it was like a week later that Dave then shared with me what he had felt at the hockey rink. So that was really cool confirmation of that. We were just like, oh, okay, cool. And it's fun with God. Sometimes he gives you seasons of go and wait. And sometimes it's seasons of go and just trust. So this was our go and wait season. Like we both felt this release, but we didn't have any next steps yet. He didn't give us any next direction. So it was our job just to keep being faithful with what we were doing and the ministries we were a part of, and just keep going forward until God gave us the next step and redirected. But it was just us being open. That was like the first step. Mm-hmm. Us both just submitting it to God and saying, God, we're open to whatever you want to do. Yeah. And then fast forward like 2 years later, it was a go and trust, which we'll get to, because we didn't really have any details.
Yeah.
We just had to have full faith. But so that was in the spring 2023. Then in summer 2023, Dave and I went on a marriage retreat, and we met with some discernment, like spiritual advisors, and we were all just praying just about our future. They didn't know anything that we were planning, and we weren't really planning anything at that point anyway, but we were just praying. And one of the words that they got was the image of mountains. And then they also got a song about an arrow and finding your way. And the song also had mountains and oceans in it. And that was something Dave and I had both felt without telling them. They didn't know this, but we had both felt that when we sat down too, God had been putting mountains on our mind a lot too, for a potential where we'd be going. So at first we were like, well, we're in BC, British Columbia, like for this marriage retreat. So we were like, oh, maybe we're supposed to move to BC. But neither of us really felt peace about that, or like it was the right move. So yeah. Again, it was just a cool word, wrote it down, and still waited.
Yeah.
Yep. And then was there anything else that they had said? Do you remember?
No.
Yeah. Then after that, it was in March 2024. So like almost a year later. So a full year after we felt that release, that Dave was sitting down at a men's retreat.
Yeah.
Do you want to share?
You go ahead.
He was sitting at a men's retreat. It was a spiritual retreat, and he was just chatting with someone, and they had just mentioned that there was an organization in New Zealand that needed some help, and just asked if he would be interested in like helping them. So that kind of led to like an 8-month process with this organization, discerning things. And it was funny, when he came home, he was like, right when he had that conversation, he said to God, he was like, I'm not going to pursue this if Amanda's not more excited than I am about this potential. And so when he got home, of course, I was over the moon. I was like, oh, yeah, like, I'm down, like, wherever, like, let's go. So that was the first confirmation for you.
Yeah.
And then you also had laid down a fleece. That his dad would find his birth certificate, which was a big thing, because his dad has like a lot of stuff from their past, but he hadn't touched his birth certificate in forever. And he very well could have given it to you too. Like, we didn't know like in the past. So he was just kind of like, if his dad finds his birth certificate, then that's kind of the fleece he laid down. And his dad found it.
Yeah.
Within a week. Yeah. Within a week of Dave asking, which is really cool. So that was a cool fleece. Here, I'll just move this over here.
That was to be able to get my passport and I already had citizenship, dual citizenship, but needed to get my passport, because when I was a kid, didn't have one. So, yeah.
Yeah. So then during that kind of like 8-month discernment process, both with this organization, but also just us individually, if New Zealand was the place, we just had, a bunch of words from people, which was rare. Like, we used to get a lot of prophetic words from people, I think, in earlier days, but we hadn't really in many years. And these people who gave us words are people that most of them hadn't ever given us a word before. So it was while we were discerning, all of these were in the fall leading up to like our official decision, which happened in December that year. So in August, one of our pastors at our church came up to us and said, you have the keys to the kingdom, and shared the verse that has that in it as well. So that was pretty cool, because she's never given us a word. And then in September, a friend from my work, E3 Partners, she had a word for us that God was giving us territories, and she had an image of us with like scepters and like crowns, like royalty, which was just cool. And then in October, another one of our friends at a prayer night, he had a word about Dave and I reaching tons of people. He just had these images of us just sharing the gospel and reaching tons of people. And he also had words about us being fully funded in ministry, which was really cool. And then in November, another friend who doesn't even live in Canada, and nobody knew we were discerning this process at this point either. No one knew we were even thinking about leaving. So this other friend had it impressed on her heart to pray for us for a new house and a bigger house. And that was one of our dreams, was actually when we get here to be able to host friends and host ministry friends. And if we're ever running anything like a conference or a training, to be able to host any of our ministry partners from back in Canada and just family too, who want to visit. Yeah. Like, that's just a dream of ours. We had kind of like post kids, three kids, like laid down hosting. We still wanted to and did sometimes, but it was just harder in the young years. And that's just something we really both are passionate about, is just welcoming people in and helping them along just life's journey.
Yes.
Sorry, you seem like you want to say something. You want to
add something? Okay. I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really cool and encouraging. And then, in December, that was when we officially made our plans to go. And we had kind of accepted a role with this organization as well at the time, which was part of us making the decision, which is the only reason I'm sharing all this, is it's just cool how God works. Because if any of these pieces hadn't been there, we wouldn't be here probably. Like, it was really one step at a time. And even the things that didn't work out were still necessary for the process. So that was really cool. So at that point we had plans to go with this organization, technically like hired. So then we started sharing with friends and family late December, early January, that we'd be leaving, which was hard to do. And it was hard for our kids too, because they had been part of the discerning process for those 8 months. We kept them in the loop, and by a miracle, they never told anybody. Like, they didn't tell anyone that we were discerning this or anything about New Zealand, which is cool. So people were like surprised, obviously, when we did share. Yeah. So I think that was their first time experiencing, because they were just excited about it until that point. But that was the first time that they realized, oh, this is also a sad thing. Like, it is, there's a grieving to it too. And like a leaving of our, what they've known and the home they've lived in for their whole lives so far. And the family that they're used to being around, and friends and ministry that they're used to being around, and homeschool, like our homeschool community. So it was, I think that's when we started telling people, is when they realized it's not just a happy thing. Like, there is like a sacrifice to it as well.
Yeah, it caught us off guard, because I mean, for us, it was a lot of excitement leading up to that.
Yeah.
Lots of challenge too.
Yeah.
But lots of excitement. And so, yeah, with the number of people who were sad / disappointed that we were leaving, even had a couple friends boo us when we announced at church that we were going. They were joking, of course, kind of. But all of a sudden we had to kind of flip around and go, oh yeah, people are going to be sad about this. This is going to, like, some people will be really disappointed that we're going. And that made sense. And that was like an honoring thing. It was really beautiful to see it from that perspective of, they love us so much and love us enough, or we had enough of a relationship and impact in their life that they were sad that we were leaving. So that was a really beautiful and honoring thing.
We're thankful for that. And we both felt that way at different points too, like being sad about leaving, obviously, friendships and community and our church. And so we definitely had those emotions later on, I think, for us, because we had been processing so long. We had already worked through a lot of stuff. So then it, opened that door again. But
And we both had that mindset too of, where you go, I'll go, where you stay, I'll stay, I'll follow you. From the book of Ruth. And we both had that heart, that commitment that we want to serve God fully, and we want to be obedient. We never want to say no to him. We never want to avoid or steer away from what God wants us to be doing. And so,
because it's us that misses out.
We,
whenever in anyone's life, if you ever aren't doing what God's asking you, it's actually you that's missing out. And we know that. And there's been times obviously where we have said like no to God on something, but it's us that misses out, and we've learned that. And we just want to give him our yes and do our best to be obedient whenever we feel him call or nudge or speak to us about something, because we know it's always worth it. And he always knows best, and it always leads to more joy and freedom in us as well.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, which is really cool. Yes. So then, fast forward to February 2025. So a couple months after we were going to be with this organization and everything, then we kind of had like a bomb dropping weekend of a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some of it probably later in this marriage series as well.
Yeah.
But one of the things was just that Dave like didn't really want that job. He didn't really feel like that's,
I realized I wasn't qualified for that position, and I was, it was
well, and that there wasn't a passion, because God doesn't always call the qualified. The qualified's the call. But there wasn't, you would have a passion or like a heart for it or an excitement if it was from God, like for what he wanted for you next. You didn't have that.
No, but I was afraid to say that to anyone, because I didn't want to let people down out of fear of failure at that time. Mm-hmm. And so I bottled that up and kept moving forwards. And yeah, it all kind of came out in the end. And I'm thankful for how God handled that, and for the freedom that came after that.
Yeah.
And yeah, just that encouragement that you can trust God with whatever you're feeling, whatever you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever leave him out of it. He wants to be in it with you.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of freedom that came from that, but it was tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt crazy in the moment. And we were like, are we still going now? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
But we, like, our marriage has never been better than afterwards.
Yes.
Just obviously the truth will set you free. And that was a line that God had given Dave actually too, is the truth will set you free. Like just release, you know, like let the light shine in and just give it to God and let people help you, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is really good. So yeah, we then kept praying and we felt peace about New Zealand still and going, because that was something that had been clear the whole time, and all the prophetic words that we had gotten were just about New Zealand.
Yes.
It didn't matter what organization we were with or how the details worked.
Yeah,
and I was still with E3, and part of our ministry plan with this other organization was to partner anyway, because this other organization wanted E3's tools, like the discipleship and evangelism tools. So it led to just like a cool release for me as well, instead of trying to like blend two organizations and us being again separate, because most of our marriage we've been separate jobs, separate ministries. Like it's very rare it's that tough. We've been the same ministry at the same time, and especially post kids, one of us was usually home with the kids while the other was at an event. So it's been a long time since we've been able to do ministry together, and that was something we really felt for New Zealand that we were excited for, but it would have been really hard if we were with different organizations. So it all worked out. It was really amazing. We had some amazing conversations with that organization as well, and we are still partnering with them, and
so just
with E3, like, so we're here with E3 as well, and Dave has dual citizenship, so he's gonna get like a job here as well.
And and the encouragement for you guys is that, as it was for us, that I think in the Western culture, I don't know about the Eastern, because I don't know it well, but maybe it's the same in the Eastern culture, but in Western culture there's this expectation that we would have all of the details figured out and we would know everything. To the extent that there was actually like a real shame that I felt around not knowing all the details. And I was worried that people would think I was a bad husband or a bad father for not knowing every detail and what was coming. And then had a conversation with a really good trusted friend. And he asked, how are the details going? How are things coming along? And I was like, there's still so much that's up in the air. Still so much we're going on faith. We don't know yet. And he was like, that's awesome. And that wasn't the reaction that I was getting from most people. And I said, it's awesome. Really? Like, isn't it a bad thing? And he said, no, if you look at all the people in the Old Testament and the Bible, they went on faith. God made the calling clear, but all the details, he didn't just dump all the details and be like, okay, here's your itinerary and here's where you're going to be living. Here's what you're going to be doing. And here's all of the, here's the checklist and everything. He said, go, right? To Moses. He said to Abraham. He said to all these other people in the Bible. He told them what the calling was, but then they had to trust them and have faith. David's a wild one. King David told that he's going to be king. And then it's, I think, like 13 years later that he actually, or longer, don't quote me on that one, that he actually gets to be king. And in the meantime, there's a lot of crazy things that happened that would have made you think that calling must not be true. But it was, even as he's getting chased and Saul's trying to kill him and he's like abandoned, like he's out of the village, out of the town, out of the kingdom, having to like hide in caves. And it could have been so easy for him to think like, no, the calling must not be true, but he trusted God's calling. And ours has been far less challenging than that. But we've trusted God's calling. And I've learned that to be a good husband and to be a good father is to actually trust the Lord and to not try and take that burden and weight of provision and protection and safety fully on my own shoulders, but to trust God for it. And as we're trusting God for it, and as I'm trusting God for it, it actually equips me and gives me the greatest wisdom to love and protect my wife and my children as we continue to follow God's call and as we continue to seek where he'll lead us next.
Yeah. And we were just so sure that we were supposed to go in the fall. God had told me that my visa would come in for September, which it could have taken till December.
Yeah.
That's the kind of normal range. Normal, I think 7 months would have put me in October that it would have got approved.
Yeah.
But it could have taken as long as December. So we didn't know when my visa was coming, but we had really felt it was going to be approved in September. And we had really felt we were supposed to go in the fall. So even with the discernment process and even some friends being like, is it wise to go? Like, maybe you should just stay for another year and a half or whatever and just figure out some more things before you go. We really felt, I'll speak for myself, I really felt like if we stayed, we'd just be like twiddling our thumbs because the call was real. We felt God with us. We were just riding this river of peace, and we just knew so clearly like that these were words God had said to us and that we just wanted to obey. So it just felt silly to stay. I was like, God knows best, and he knows what we need for our marriage too, and our family, and even just a reset for us, right? Like in a new place and doing ministry together and things like that.
So a lot more time together as well.
More time together. It's been really healing and beautiful. So, and that's the future. At the time, we didn't know that, but yes. So yeah, we're just so thankful just for God and his leading. And my visa did come in September, which was so cool. It was right at the end of September that it got approved, which was really cool. I had to send my passport in as well as part of the process. And my passport came back 1 week before I needed it for a work training in the States in September as well. So that was really cool. And we had a friend in the summer pray for us. At an event we were at, Kingdom Bound, representing I Am Second in E3. And he prayed for us, and he prayed that it would take 7 weeks instead of 7 months for my visa to come. And from the day he prayed, I calculated 7 weeks later. And that was the day I was assigned to an officer. And then it got approved about a week later, but because she asked for a few more things. But she could have approved it that day, but she wanted just a little bit more details and stuff. His disposal residence visa anyway. That was just so cool. We just saw God's hand in that every step of the way. And then also with moving out of our house, we really felt we were supposed to be out for September 1st so that the family moving in could get settled for their school year and things like that. So we moved out the day before that, and then the next day was when I had an email waiting for me saying that they were done with my passport. It still took a while to get back, but it was just cool because it was an act of, again, just surrendering our house, our things. We gave a bunch of stuff away. We sold some stuff. We kept some stuff in our house as well, but we didn't want to store a bunch of things. We really felt like we were supposed to just kind of release. And not store a bunch of stuff. And we felt too from God, like he was saying to me to leave the old because he's doing a new thing. So even with how much we brought, we just came with suitcases in the end. We had talked about sending a crate or something as well, but we really felt both that we need to be flexible and that God's doing a new thing. So just to leave the old. And it was in a spiritual sense and emotional sense, but he also, it became a physical thing and became pretty comical. Some of you may have seen in some of my stories over the summer, things that just kept breaking in our home that had never broken, lights that were going out that we've had forever. Three of my four pairs of jeans ripped. I've never had that, all in different spots, like not related to anything. And I've never had jeans rip. Both pairs of my sandals broke, which never had sandals break in my life. Just all these kind of funny things. And a hammock. We broke a hammock too that we had been at my parents' house for 10 years. And when we met, like doing young adults and stuff, we had sat on that hammock before too. So it was just funny. It just, again, just signs that it's time to move on. Like the old is gone, the new has come. So just trusting God with that process as well. That was really cool. So yeah, then we kind of became nomads, and we still are.
Yes.
We're still nomads right now. We're hoping to be settled in a home in January, and that will be kind of where we'll settle for the majority of our time here. in New Zealand, but from September until this point, we've been, yeah, nomads. We lived with my parents for a month, and then we were in Alberta for a week with some friends, and then we were in BC for a week for a wedding, and then, yeah, we've been in Wellington. We were there for 4 weeks, Wellington for 4 weeks. Now we're in Otaki, which is close to Wellington, for 2 weeks, and then we'll be back to Wellington for Christmas. So yeah, it's been really good. When I think about how much we've moved and traveled around, again, just so thankful for the flexible word God gave us, and just having our suitcases, because I don't even know how we would have organized having anything else. And the kids have done so great as well. They are starting to hit a point now, just the last few weeks, where they're a little bit tired of moving around. So please pray for our place for January. We are still, just looking and just trusting God with the doors he's going to open. We know the area he's calling us to, so we're so excited about moving to that area in New Zealand in January. But yes, we are still looking for our accommodation. And yes, we'd appreciate prayers for that.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to add about just the transition and trusting God?
Just so thankful for just the people God surrounded us with.
Share about that.
That's a prayer I asked God many years ago. When I first got saved, it was in college, and I was surrounded by this amazing Christian student group. And when God called me to go to Bible college in another city, it was really like scary, because I didn't want to lose that amazing community I'd looked and searched all my life for. So I was so thankful when God provided that, but then went down to Bible college, and quickly God just, I asked him to provide strong men of God to surround me with, and he did. They were amazing brothers in Christ. And then when we met, then God surrounded us with amazing friends, amazing young adults community. And then as we started having kids, got married, had kids, God surrounded us with amazing just young families. And older couples who could support and walk with us, and couples our own age too. It was really beautiful. And so then, it's tough to leave all of that. But coming here, we also prayed that God would look out for us and would provide community for us here. And so we got here on a Thursday, and then Amanda started looking up churches. And on Sunday, we went to this incredible church in Wellington, called City on a Hill, and we love it.
God led us to. I was just looking online, and I said, God, just highlight the one you want us to go to. And it wasn't the most fancy one, the one with the best description, none of that. It was just the one God highlighted, and we're like, okay, we're going. And I just felt God say that they're a faithful people.
And they really are. And it was so beautiful. Walked in, incredible coffee to start, which was strong start. But then just the friendliest people, and we made connections right away. Felt like people welcomed us right away, and we had really awesome people just come up to us and want to talk to us and get to know us. And that was just so special, knowing that we'd only be here for 2 months in this area of New Zealand. We wanted to make sure that we had just made the most of that time, and we've been able to make the most of that time because God surrounded us with awesome people who could encourage and love and pray for us.
And invite us into their homes. For dinner and things.
Which is rich and beautiful. And so we're super thankful for that. And so I just encourage you again. If you're in a season of life where you don't have that, pray for that. Ask God for that. Because God wants to surround you with amazing people who will love and support you. We're super thankful. And we are, just following God one step at a time. We're walking in obedience the best we can, and trusting that he will continue to show every next step, and trusting that he will continue to lead us together for his glory and honor, and for our joy. And so we can see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that for you as well, that you would be able to walk in obedience to God and what he's calling you to, so that you could experience that joy of walking with the Lord and seeing the plan that he has for your life, because he's got a good plan for your life. Hope in the future. And it won't be easy, but it'll be so worthwhile, so beautiful, so purposeful, and more incredible than you could have ever imagined on your own. So I encourage you to take a next step of obedience and just ask God where he wants you to be and what he wants you to be doing. And he won't give you all the details, but he'll give you the next steps. Trust him because it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
Very good. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.
Amen. God bless you.